prayer, ask your continued interest in your prayers tonight. I'll go to an Old Testament story account. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. While you're turning to that, got a question for you. What power can prevail against God when it's His will to bless one of His children? What power can prevail against God? Okay, I just want you to think about that. There is no power, is there? He has all power. So when we feel threatened, when we feel powerless, when we feel like there's so many things that we wish were different and they're not, and we don't know what to do or how to do or can't do enough to fix it, where do we go from there? Do we let ourselves get upset and in despair? Or do we lift our thoughts to God, who is able? I could stop right there, couldn't I? God is able. Every time we face discouragement, every time we face disappointment, every time we face something that we wish was different, but it's beyond our ability to affect it, God is able. Now, we balance that with we have to submit ourselves to His will, right? But if it's His will, He can do it. He can do it. Now, how many times in our lives, you don't have to answer, but just think about it, how many times have we allowed ourselves to feel defeated without going to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, without boldly going to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? That's where our help is, right? We know that. But sometimes we allow ourselves not to do that, right? Well, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You're not the first one to do that. And you won't be the last one to do that. But I hope tonight I can encourage you not to do that as much as you have in the past. And maybe, if it never happened again, that'd be wonderful. Because that would be to the praise of His glory. That would redound to trust in God. And what I want to talk about tonight is trusting God against all odds. God doesn't require numbers. Ask Gideon. Don't you love that story about Gideon? And the Lord told him why he was whittling his army down. Because if I don't, you're going to say, our hand hath gotten us the victory. Time and time again, God told him, you've got too many. And they were already outnumbered. Don't you love those stories like that? And I hesitate to call them stories because they're true, factual accounts in history. It really did happen just like that. And there's a reason it happened just like that. There was a lesson in it for them, and there's a lesson in it for us tonight. All these years later, that lesson is still needed isn't it? All right? Well, here's another time when that lesson was needed. Here in 2 Kings chapter 6. I hope you found it by now. What we find, by the way, let me ask you another question. How good is your eyesight when it comes to seeing God's help that's available to us? Sometimes it's not the eyesight as much as it is the willingness, is it? Sometimes we just don't want to let go of what we're trying to do, not willing to say, Lord, thy will be done. But here's a situation where the Syrian army, the king of that army, was frustrated because every time he made a move against Israel, the prophet Elisha would tell the king of Israel where they were, and so it kept the king of Syria from doing anything against Israel, having any success whatsoever. And he thought he had a traitor in his own camp. You know, there is some humor in the Bible. I'm not trying to make this something different. What I'm saying is how wonderful it is, and we can joyfully look at this and see that even though there were enemies against God's people, God was protecting them from it, and they didn't even know it. Could that apply to us tonight? You know, there's some people that would like to take this nation in a different direction than way it's been for so long. And I'm satisfied. I'm confident that it would have happened a long time ago had not God in his providence helped us. You hear that? I got enough nods that I believe you believe that. Well, will he continue to help us? Well, we know he can. Will he? I remember another principle. I'll get to my text in a minute. I remember another principle in the Old Testament that said, if my people, which are called by my name, nobody else is going to do it, shall humble themselves and pray. That's two things. That's two big things, especially the first one, humbling ourselves and pray and seek my face. Ugh. We're so busy. Do we have time for that? Well, we better hope God has time for us, because he's our only hope. He's our only help in this mess. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then here's the other big one. And say, I'm sorry. That's not enough, is it? Oh, how many times we tell the Lord we're sorry. We're going to do better. But he says, and turn. Not just say, I'm sorry, but turn from their wicked ways. Well, surely the Lord's talking about those people that's supporting abortion. Surely he's talking about those people that support lifestyles that's just ungodly. No, he's talking to his people. My people, he says. My people. And turn from their wicked ways. He says, then. I have said many times, I'm not going to say that God has sent this judgment upon us, but we do know that he's allowed it upon us. He has. And I believe he's done it for a reason. I just told you. If my people, if this will get our attention, if this would cause us, as serious as we are about our religion, if it'll get us to be more serious about worshiping God on His terms, I think then we could see that he says, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal their land. And oh, do we need healing tonight? It's God's people. He said, if my people, there are people in this world that are never going to change. If God hasn't touched and tendered their heart, they can't change. But there are a lot of God's people who have been touched and tendered by the grace of God who are not worshiping Him like they should. And so, that principle is still alive and well. That principle still applies to God's people tonight. All right, let's, I'm not sure why we got off on that, but I hope it's in line with our subject. But in this situation, when the king of Syria was being frustrated because every time he tried to make a move against Israel, Elisha was sending word to where they were and keeping them from having any victory against Israel. And so the king thought he had a traitor close to him. And they said, no, that's not it, king. Elisha the prophet is telling the king, whatever you speak in your bedchamber. In other words, Elijah knows whatever you're saying. Now, obviously that wasn't Elisha, right? Obviously that was God working on behalf of his people, but he was using Elisha. Is there a lesson there for us? The closer we get to the Lord, I think the more he would show us about what's really going on here. I believe the better understanding we would have about what we need to be doing, the closer we get to the Lord. I don't believe the Lord's finished with letting his people know. You know, I mean, what a blessing it is that we as God's people, whose hearts have been touched and tendered by his grace, whose eyes have been opened, whose ears have been given to hear the glorious message of the truth of the gospel that teaches us that this world someday is going to go up in smoke. But before that time, you know, God's told Noah he's not going to destroy the earth by a flood again. But we understand the next time he is going to judge it again, and the next time it's going to be by fire. But he's blessed us to know that by his divine power, he's going to send his son to gather us up, all for whom Jesus died, gather us up and take us home to be with him before this place burns up. Isn't that wonderful? That he's let us know that. There are a lot of people in this world that don't know that. They may have heard it, but they don't know it in their heart. They don't believe it. But we are blessed to know it and understand it and believe it and rejoice in it. What a blessing. Well, this king was frustrated. And so he sends a host to take Elisha. Well, he's messed up now, hasn't he? He's pushed the king too far. Right? No. If you've read the story, you know Elisha is going to do just fine. Well, can we find a lesson in that for us tonight? Can God take care of us no matter what happens in this world? Yes, he can. Now, again, we have to balance the idea that there have been some of God's people that have had to suffer a lot. But we already are blessed to know that we'll be with him in glory. We may have to suffer some inconveniences. It might get worse than that. I don't know. But I know this, on the authority of this word, which I believe from cover to cover. I may not understand it all, but I believe it from cover to cover. God's going to take care of us. I believe we sang a song, "Does Jesus Care?" We can answer that question, can't we?
Absolutely.
Yes, he does. He's cared for a long time. A long time. So the army is sent to take Elisha. All right, so in 2 Kings chapter 6, let's pick up in verse 15. Well, let's see, I'll back up to 14. Let's back up to 13. And he said, "Go and spy where he is." The king is telling him to find Elisha. "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Well, that's not far from here, is it? All right. "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host for one man."
Yeah.
I like that, don't you? "And they came by night and compassed the city about." Now, how many people does it take to encompass a whole city? I don't know what size city that Dothan was at that time, but it was enough to be around the whole city. Huh. Okay. I guess this king means business. Okay. "And when the servant," all right, they came by night. So this servant, early in the morning when he goes out, "when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, what are we going to do? The army has surrounded us. How shall we do? We probably ask that question in one way or another a lot of times here lately, haven't we? When things are going in ways that we don't like, we probably ask that question a lot of times in a variety of ways. "Alas, master, how shall we do?" Well, what should they do? They're all around the cities. You can't run out the back door, right? They're surrounded. And it's a host with horses and chariots. If you start running, that horse and chariot could outrun you. What are we going to do? As we read, this servant seems to be rather upset. But not Elisha. That does something for me. If that man of God wasn't bothered by that at all. For all we know, he was waiting on them to get there. I mean, the Lord had been telling him where the Assyrian army was. There's nothing strange about the fact that the Lord would have told him they're coming for you. Or coming to your place. But Elisha was not concerned at all. Again, let's put ourselves in this situation and adapt it to what's happening today. Yes, there's people that wants to change our life. But they're no match for God. They can't do anything he doesn't allow. If we're settled and trusting God, then we've got all the help we need. Now, is that going to stop them? I don't know. I don't know what God's will is for this situation, but I do know this. He's able to do. He loves us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to this world to suffer and die on a cruel cross to save us from our sins. He still loves us just as much because now the sin debt's been paid. We're washed clean. We're white as snow as we stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. Do you think he's going to stop taking care of us? Do you think he's going to stop loving us now? No. No. 1,000 times no. He's not. He's there for us in whatever we need. I think Brother Kenneth mentioned how that he promised he wouldn't leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that comforting? Come what may, God is on his throne. Nothing escapes his watchful eye. He's able. All right, let's try to keep going here. So, after the servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do? How shall we do?" Elisha, and he answered, "Fear not. Fear not." Now, he could have stopped right there. And it would have been right. Fear not. There was no reason for him to fear, right? But he was. He was fearful. But there was no reason. Except in his mind. Except in what he could see. And the way he was thinking caused him to be fearful. Elisha said, "Fear not." And then he gives him a little bit of assurance as to why not. "For they that be with us." Is that what he said? "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, you've already read this story, and you know that's the truth. But just imagine, this servant didn't know that, and until Elisha prays for him, he really didn't see that. But Elisha prayed for him. You know, we're so blessed to know the truth. We're so blessed to understand the truth of God's amazing grace. And how that grace not only has saved us from our sins, it saves us daily. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. We got all the help we need. But we've got friends that can't see that. Are you praying for them? Are you praying for them? Sometimes we see others that are so frustrated and we try to encourage them and try to help. But I hope that in addition to all that we're trying to do to encourage and help and build them up, that we're also praying that the Lord would open their eyes, that they can see what we see. Don't you know that would have such rewards for the rest of their days here upon this earth? And so Elisha prays for this servant. He says, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Open his eyes. You know, opening his eyes didn't change a thing about what was there. It simply allowed this man, this servant, to see what was already there. You know, I keep going to away from this lesson here, but the fact that God has blessed us to see the truth of the gospel. There's so many things that good people in this world who sincerely love God, right? They're sincere in that. And because of that, they are God's children. But they don't see what's there to be seen. And God has had mercy upon us and blessed us to see it. Isn't that special? Isn't that glorious? That God has blessed us so that we could be like Elijah and we're not rattled at all. Because our trust is in the living God. And we're able to see that he's on his throne. He has saved his people. We're going to be with him in glory. We just don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But God is still on his throne. He's still able to provide. He knows, he sees, he knows, he's able. That's a pretty good sequence, isn't it? He sees, he knows, and he's able. So Elisha prays for this servant. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Now, you know, if you ever stop to think about, well, there's a lot of other things that Elisha could have been praying for at that point. But he didn't have to. You know, he could have been praying that the enemy could be defeated. He could have prayed for a lot of things. But he simply said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. See, Elijah already knew the battle, the victory was the Lord's. And it is. And it is. You know, I want to take a few minutes to notice a few other scriptures that highlight this principle. There have been other times where other people in the scriptures were outnumbered or in some of these same situations, and God showed himself strong to them as well. All right, let's go first of all to Psalms 3. Psalm 3. I'll try to, it's hard to jump in the middle of some of these, but Psalm chapter 3. I'm going to have to get some of this. Psalm 3, David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Sound familiar? Many there be which say to my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. When we feel like the Lord's heard our prayers, then we can relax, can't we? I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Now listen to verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Here was a time when the Lord gave David confidence that he would be with him, though 10,000s of people had gathered themselves round about, just like they did with Elisha. Where was David's confidence? David was a mighty man of war. I have every reason to believe that from what I read in the scripture, David was a very strong man. But his confidence was in the Lord. That's our lesson. Trusting God against all odds. David learned that lesson. I mean, David, as a young boy, went out against a lion and a bear, right? I mean, and David recognized that it was the Lord that delivered them into his hand. So he learned at an early age that the Lord had delivered him. And so his confidence was that though 10,000s of people gathered around him, he wouldn't be afraid. Just like it was with Elisha. How about Psalm 18? Psalm 18. Again, David is expressing his love for God and his trust. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Calling upon the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting God against the odds. Because the odds don't matter with God. He can save us. He can help us. He can change the situation. I don't have time to go through all the situations in the Old Testament where God moved on behalf of his people and delivered them. But what a blessing that is to us, time and time again, to be reminded as we read the scriptures and to be reminded of how God in his almighty power can keep his people from those that would do them harm. Oh, how we need to remember that on a regular basis. Psalm 27. Powerful psalm, isn't it? Psalm 27. I love Psalm 27, don't you? Of course, I love a lot of the others too. All the others, really, but there's just Psalm 27 is just easy to love. All right? I could go through the whole thing, but he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, does he really mean that? Is this just words that good Christians say? Or is this life? Is this where life is found? Is this where joy and peace and contentment is found? In truly trusting God. He saved us, and we can call upon him every day. All right? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encompass against me and camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. David was settled in his heart. He wasn't being tossed to and fro here. He was confident in this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I'll have to leave it at that. But in our time of trouble, he can hide us. And I'm satisfied that we can all say that he's already done that in the past. And that's the promise of his word. that he will keep us in whatever we're facing. 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. When we started out, we were talking about how the Syrians came against Israel. Now we're talking about the Assyrians in the days of Hezekiah. This king, Sennacherib, had been very successful in defeating other nations. And when he comes against Israel, then he lets them know that no other gods that these other nations had trusted in had been able to deliver them. And so he's saying to them, your God can't deliver you either. Guess what? I'm hearing that today. You don't need those churches. You don't need to meet in those meeting houses. The government is going to take care of you. Yeah, I've seen how good that works. I mean, in principle, we're hearing that today. The enemy's coming, and they're saying, you don't need to trust in your God. He can't deliver you. Well, guess what? We know better. And we need to be living like we know better and realizing that God can take care of us and deliver us no matter what enemy is coming against us. Our lifestyle may change. Some of the choices that we've had in the past may change. But God can take care of us no matter what. We're safe in the blood of Jesus. I like that, don't you? No matter what comes against us. And I tell you, we've just seen the tip of the iceberg. I don't know what they've got in mind. You know, if they're successful, I'm still praying. We had a good prayer meeting down at Bethel Sunday afternoon, and I'm still praying that the Lord would have mercy upon us and give us grace for a space another time. And it is certainly in his long suffering to do that. His mercy endureth forever. He can do that if he chooses to do that. And I'm just persuaded that it's just a matter of how much God's people are willing to humble themselves and pray as to how much God is going to hear us at this time. And I can't control how much you humble yourself and pray, and you can't control how much I humble myself and pray. It's up to each one of us, isn't it? But God can take care of us individually if he wants to. God can take care of us as a church. God can take care of us as a nation, although I don't see in the New Testament how he deals with nations like that anymore like he did in the Old Testament. He's looking to his people nowadays. The nation of his people. Those who know the joyful sound. Those who understand who he really is and that his word is true and faithful, and he will do all his pleasure. Well, Sennacherib sent word to the people of Israel, don't listen to Hezekiah. Well, let me read some here. I need to get that. let's see. I got to get just a piece of it here. All right, after these Sennacherib and his army came against and encamped against Israel. It says in verse 6, I'm in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 6. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake. Okay, this is Hezekiah. Speaking to the people, all right, he says this, be strong and courageous. Now Hezekiah is encouraging the people of Israel. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. That sounds familiar to me. That God has a way of coming to his people and telling them that same thing. Be strong and have a good courage. I read somewhere else. I believe it was in the book of Joshua. Be strong and have a good courage. Well, Hezekiah is giving this word of encouragement to the people. Are they good words? Or is he just trying to keep them from being afraid? No, they're good words. They're faithful words. All right, so he says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. Now, they were outnumbered. But it doesn't matter what the odds are with God. For there be more with us than with him. I believe I've heard that somewhere else, haven't you? With him, with Sennacherib, with him is an arm of flesh. That's all he's got. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, Sennacherib's going to come along, just like the old devil, and say, now, don't listen to Hezekiah. He don't know what he's talking about. Those gods that other people trusted in weren't able to deliver them, and your God's not able to deliver you. Have you read this story? In the interest of time, let's drop down. Let's see. All right, these the people that with Sennacherib, verse 19, and they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame. They didn't even have to fight. God sent an angel to cut off all the mighty men of valor. How did he do that? I don't know, but I'm glad he did. And I'm glad he told us about it, because that's exactly what we need tonight. For God to move on behalf of his people. He's able. He knows. He loves us. He can take care of us. He took care of Judah on this occasion so that this king Sennacherib, who had boasted so proudly, had to go home in shame. And it was such a miserable defeat that when he got home, his own family killed him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's just not some happen. It's an amazing deliverance of God of a nation of people. God can deliver us just the same tonight. Those angels are ready and willing to do according to his command. All right? So, as Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, Who can? I started to start calling names, but I'm going to call any name. You know what I'm talking about. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, they can like make our life miserable at times, but only to the point that God allows. Right? Remember Job? God limited Satan on what he could do. Now, it was miserable for Job for a while. And who knows but what we may have to go through some of that. But you know, well, if my people, that I think some people have gotten tired of hearing that, but that's just a reflection of their heart. Because it's still the truth. If my people, which call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I heal their land. I've heard people say it's just going to be impossible to undo all that's been done. No, it's not. God could do that. God can bless us in whatever way he pleases to do. All right, so let's come back to 2 Kings chapter 6. All right. Elisha had prayed for this servant's eyes to be opened, and then all around, all right? I don't know if I got that far. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Ah. This is different. This is not the horses and chariots of the Syrian army. These are not horses and chariots like that. These are heavenly chariots. These are there to do God's business. Absolutely. And when he sent one angel to thwart all the mighty men of valor of the Assyrians that we read to you, one angel, and these mountains were filled with chariots of fire. We've got all the help we need. And more. And it can happen like that. It can happen in an instant. As soon as God says so. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in this world that I wish was different right now. But we've got all the help we need. At the very least, don't be afraid. Trust God. Fear not. Fear is so dishonoring to God. I know that it's concerning as to what may lie ahead. Let's just put it in God's hands. That's where it is anyway. We try to influence it in ways that we won't, that might not be exactly what God wants. So the best thing we can do is just trust the Lord. Trust him. He's going to do what's exactly right. In his own time. All right. So the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Put yourself in Elisha's place. Those horses and chariots are around you. You've got the help. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray. Now the Syrian army is coming down for Elisha. And Elisha's still praying. Obviously, that's the time to be praying, isn't it? All right? But now Elisha has already prayed for the servant, for his eyes to be opened to see the chariots of fire filling the mountains around about them. And now Elisha prays for the Syrian army. Now, wait a minute. You going to pray for them? I think we heard several messages recently about praying for your enemies. Right? I mean, there's a lot of things we might, if an army was coming against us, there's a lot of things that we might think to do, and there's a lot of things we might ask the Lord to do, but would we ask the Lord would we pray for them? Would we actually pray for the ones that's coming against us? I think this is a good lesson here. When's the last time you prayed for some of those folks that's doing some ungodly things in high levels of our government? When's the last time you actually prayed for them? Not just in general terms, but for them. This is convicting for me. If that gives you any clue about how I feel about this. Elisha prayed for the Syrians that were coming to get him. And notice, I think it's good for us to notice he prayed for them. He didn't just say, "Lord, get them." That's what we would say. He said, listen, what did he say? Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." Now, this is going to be a temporary blindness. But you know, the Lord did that a lot in the Bible. Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he was out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But the gates of hell did not prevail. God smote him with blindness. And he did a whole lot more. All right, I pray thee, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with the blindness. With blindness according to the word of Elisha. I like that. I believe, you know, if you go back to, again, to Joshua, there's some parallels here. I believe there's a verse of scripture that says that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man when the sun and the moon stood still.
Yeah.
But God hearkened to the voice of a man. Here, Elisha prays for the Lord to smite them with blindness. It's going to be temporary. This is not a harsh and cruel punishment. It's just a temporary thing. But now this army is powerless. I mean, just like that. They're powerless. What are you going to do as an army if you can't see anything? God can do this so quickly. He could. He smote them with blindness. Now, Elisha tells them what to do. And he leads them into the city where the army of Israel is. And the king just leads them right in there. And this enemy, I don't care how strong they are. I don't care how numerous they are. They're powerless. And they're surrounded by the army of Israel. Wow. Our God is great. Our God is able. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. That's one of those situations where there's a higher purpose involved here than the minute details about what he just said. There's a higher purpose for what he's doing. He led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? What would we say? Yes, sir, go ahead. That's what we'd say. Take care of them. We would say that. That's part of the reason why Paul would say, oh, wretched man that I am. So oftentimes, we want to act on our own desires. Now, who would have thought that now that God has led them through Elisha, that they've been led into the camp of the army of Israel, who would have thought that God's not going to let them now to defeat the army and get rid of their enemy? Well, I remember in Isaiah 55, the Lord says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So, God has something better in mind. Now, what could be better than defeating your enemy? I mean, if we've got an enemy, it seems like to us that the best thing could be would be to defeat the enemy. How about win them over? How about to cause them to be able to see what we see? I know it takes God to open the heart and the eyes, but that's what Elisha prayed for here. He prayed for the young man's eyes to be open. He prayed for the Syrian army to be blinded, but then he prays again and they open their eyes. My point is, God has a higher purpose than just having this army defeated. Shall I smite them? Elisha, he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? So if they had captured someone in battle, they wouldn't have slain them later. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. He's going to turn them loose. Not only is he going to turn them loose, he's going to feed them. And then send them home. Yes, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. Is God right in this? Absolutely. He always is. So when we encounter something that doesn't line up with our thinking, guess who needs to change? We do. We need to change. We need to know more about this, his ways and his thoughts. We need to be reminded of his ways and his thoughts. We need to be reminded on a regular basis of his ways and his thoughts to continually not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay? So thou shalt not smite them. Set bread and water before them, verse 22, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. Well, it was a great army. It's going to take a while. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And this last sentence here in this verse 23 gives us an idea of God's better way. You can say that there was a military victory. That it wasn't the military. God got the victory over this army, put them in this place, but then had them fed and watered and sent home. But the greater victory here was a moral victory. A moral victory. They wouldn't have been anything special at all if the army of Israel had defeated that army on that occasion. Oh, it might have gotten a lot of news. Word might have spread because it was a huge army that came against Israel, but victories happen. Battles happen. But I want to show you from this word that this had a lasting impact. And when we do things God's way, we build in the right way. We build relationships. We build trust. We build glory to God. When we fight God's way, when we do what would be pleasing to the Lord, it's better. Yeah, they could have, you know, the first thing on this king's mind was to slay them. But God had something better. Because after this, it says, so the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Now this must mean for a time, because you keep reading and you'll find that there was a time when they did come. But perhaps it was under another king. I don't know. I'm just saying. Don't be confused by that. But there was a lasting impression that had a greater impact because they did what God would have them to do. There was a greater impact and a greater blessing by them following the word of God instead of doing what they wanted to do. And I want to put that lesson before you tonight. We've got all the help we need from God. He can handle this situation. I don't care if there's people from every nation upon this earth that puts some kind of coalition together and comes against Christians. We've got all the help we need in our God. Amen. And they're going to tell us, your God can't do anything. We're your God. Yeah. We don't have to listen to that. We know that's not right. We know who our God is. We know how secure we are in Him. Our job is to be faithful to Him. Our job is to bring glory to His name. Our job is to do things according to this word, so that whatever we do will have the best impact that it can for the glory of God and blessings to flow to us, so that we can be at peace with all men as much as possible, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life among them. I believe that's entirely possible when we're looking to the Lord. We have occasions, time and time again, in the Word of God where there was people who cared nothing for God's people, and yet they fared just fine. I believe the land of Goshen was a beautiful place for God's people to dwell while they were slaves in Egypt. Canaan's land, all the nations around about them would have wanted to destroy them, but God drove them out. And God blessed them with a wonderful place. Even over in during the 70 years of captivity, God sent prophets to them. God blessed them. Even the time that the children of Israel came back the time when there was some that was still there, God still was watching over them. God was still blessing them. He can do that today. He can bless us today. Yes, it's disconcerting. But we don't like changes. Especially when the changes that people are making are not the kind of people that are like-minded with us. But God can take care of our needs. God can help us. May God help us to look to Him, trust Him. Even when it looks like that we're outnumbered, even if it looks like we don't have anybody to be a voice for us in this secular world, I think we need to remember there's a lot more of God's people than we see. There's a lot more than we realize. Remember Elijah, Elisha's predecessor. Elijah thought he was the only one left. Lord, I'm the only one. You ever feel like that? We might have even said that. Am I the only one left? And God told Elijah, I've reserved unto me 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. There's a lot more of God's people in this world than we realize. May God help us to trust Him against all odds. Amen. And may you sleep well at night doing it. May God bless you, as I pray.